This is Relevant in Rome, a weekly podcast from the Vatican with Relevant Radio Rome correspondent Ashley Nerona. Now here's the latest on Pope Francis and all that's happened in Rome this week.
What was the main focus of Pope Francis at this morning's Wednesday general audience?
Yes, indeed. Well, today Pope Francis continued his catechesis on zeal, on apostolic zeal, and told all present that he would be focusing this week and next week specifically on witnesses, those who he called exemplary witnesses of living passion for the gospel. And he said that he would choose to focus on St. Paul for these next coming weeks, and specifically the idea of becoming a new creation. And in fact, he urged all the faithful to do that too, to take the opportunity to become a new creation in Christ, remembering it's never too late to start anew. He said that all are called to change their lives now. How to do it? Well, by letting Jesus change you. And then the Pope looked specifically at Saul's conversion, talking about how in that moment, Saul's humanity, his passion for God and for God's glory is not what he called annihilated, but instead it's transformed. It is converted by the Holy Spirit so that Paul will then follow a gospel way of life. And he then equated that to what happens in the Eucharist, where when the bread and the wine do not disappear, but they become the body and blood of Christ. And in a similar way, Paul's zeal remains, but becomes the zeal of Christ. And the Holy Father stressed that Jesus can transform every person's life, but one has to let him. In St. Paul, he looked to St. Paul's words as well. So whoever is in Christ is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. And urged all to become new and to experience a death to old ways and a resurrection to new ways. And then as he finished his catechesis today, John, Pope Francis also requested prayers, especially for the 38 people who died yesterday in a migrant facility in Mexico after a terrible fire there. Asked especially for prayers for all those who have perished in that tragedy and all those who are involved and their families. And finally, John, today, Pope Francis, who, of course, every week blesses holy objects that all of the faithful bring, blessed something a little bit unexpected and unusual. He blessed a satellite today. This is called the Space Satellites. That means the satellite of hope. And it's about to be launched on the 10th of June from the Vandenberg Space Force Base in California. And this particular satellite will hold a copy of a book that documents the Pope's Urbi et Orbi blessing of 2020 on the 27th of March. So you may remember that moment, that was when in the midst of the pandemic, Pope Francis spoke to an empty square and asked all not to be afraid. He said, "Yet our faith is weak and we are fearful, but you, Lord, will not leave us at the mercy of the storm." And so these words have been made, or this whole address really, has been made into a book called Why Are You Afraid? Have You No Faith? And converted into a nano book. So it's actually 2 millimeter by 2 millimeter and put on a 0.2 millimeter silicone plate in order to be transported into space. And then while in orbit, this satellite will broadcast statements from Pope Francis. So these are statements which can be deciphered, and they will be on the theme of hope and peace, and broadcast in English, Italian, and Spanish, John.
That is remarkable. I can't think of anything like this ever before by a Holy Father.
No, in fact, and those behind it have said the idea was to bring hope and the idea of peace to as many people in the world on what they called our troubled planet.
It's hard to believe that we're coming up on 3 years, actually. It's over 3 years since the Holy Father's famous prayers there in St. Peter's Square during the COVID pandemic. It's a moment I'll never forget.
Yes, it was certainly a very sober moment when, again, there in that empty square, Pope Francis preached those words about fear, when certainly there was a lot of anxiety throughout the world at that moment. And so we always hope that we can follow the words of Scripture to be not afraid.
Another thing I wanted to talk about was Italy's 79th anniversary of the Fossi Ardentin massacre, which took place way back in, I believe, in 1944. How is that celebrated just recently?
Yes, exactly. So there have been all kinds of events commemorating that this week, John. And this is remembering when in 1944, Nazi forces, who at that point were occupying Rome, carried out what is considered one of the most horrific atrocities against civilians in the Second World War in Italy. And so Fossi Ardentini is actually a quarry near Rome, near the Appia Antica. And it was inside of that quarry that 355 civilians were put to death by German troops. What happened was that the resistance forces had detonated a homemade bomb in the city of Rome that had killed 42 German soldiers as they were marching. And so what happened in retaliation then was that SS Commander Kepler recommended reprisals right away. Hitler approved that. And within 24 hours, the German troops ordered this massacre. The idea was to round up 10 to 1 civilians, so 10 civilians to every one German soldier that had been killed in this bomb attack. And so these hundreds of people were brought from all kinds of areas of the city, representing various walks of life. There were factory workers, there were soldiers, there was a Catholic priest, there were several students, there were prisoners. 75 of the people were Jewish, and the ages of the 335 people went from 15 to 70. So they were brought by trucks out to that quarry, into the caves of that area. They were divided into groups of five and shot in the back of the head. Afterwards, the German troops then dynamited the cave to seal it off, left the bodies inside. And it wasn't until more than a year later, after the Allied liberation of Rome, that the caves were reopened and the bodies were found there. Now, today, the site of this massacre has been transformed into a mausoleum. It's considered a national mausoleum. There's a museum there as well. And it's a sanctuary dedicated to the dead. In fact, there's a plaque on the wall of the cave that reads, "Here we were brutally killed, victims of a horrible sacrifice. May our sacrifice rise a better homeland and lasting peace amongst people." And so throughout this week, there have been several public commemoration ceremonies in honor of the victims, including the president of Italy, President Mattarella, laying a wreath there at the Fosse Ardentini Mausoleum. So certainly we remember on the 79th anniversary, those who died, the victims of all wars, and that prayer for peace that we may all live in peace together.
Well, meanwhile, Ashley, there's some questions about Italy's cuisine. Will it become recognized by UNESCO?
Oh, yes. In fact, so Italy has indeed put in a bid for just that, asking for UNESCO to recognize the cuisine as what's called intangible cultural heritage. So this is something that this bid has been put out by the Italian Ministries of Culture and Agriculture, and they are underlying the links in Italy between culture, food, and lifestyle. And they call it actually a mosaic of traditions encompassing social practices and rituals and gestures that's been handed down amongst generations. And it really, that saying that it really defines the cultural identity of Italy. In fact, the cultural minister of Italy said that the identity is also a mix of art and culture and landscapes and monuments, but all of that is enhanced by experiences of food excellence in Italy. But right in the middle of all this, John, came a little bit of controversy. An article has recently come out in the Financial Times that has questioned the authenticity of some of the signature dishes of Italian cuisine. And you can imagine there's been a huge outcry as a result in Italy. So some of the things that the article said, and by the way, it was an interview with a food historian at the University of Parma, and he says he's dedicated his life to debunking myths around Italian food. So he says that Italy's attitude towards culinary purity is often ludicrous. He said that Italian cuisine is actually more American than it is Italian, and that many Italian what are considered classics, such as panettone or tiramisu, are actually new inventions. And he suggested that, quote, the exact modern day match of Parmigiano Reggiano cheese from Italy is Wisconsin Parmesan. And he, the article also claims that carbonara, famous Roman carbonara, is actually an American dish born in Italy. So you can imagine that this has caused a lot of controversy. And in fact, in a statement by the Italian agricultural organization Coldretti, they said that this is really trivializing national food cuisine. And an article like this is dangerous because they said otherwise it would be laughable. But with it also come economic and employment implications. So Italy's application to UNESCO will be finished in December of this year. So we will wait and see what UNESCO has to say about Italian cuisine becoming a part of Italy's intangible cultural heritage, John.
Ashley, I'm curious, was pizza included in those signature dishes?
Yes, it was. It was. And in fact, what this professor is claiming is that pizza was hardly heard of in Italy until the 1950s. But I have to tell you, John, the Neapolitans are not having it. They are not happy to hear that.
Well, I just know that you can just walk through Rome every two blocks. There's a pizza on every corner. So I don't know where they come up with that. Ashley, as always, I really appreciate your insights and perspective.
Oh, it's so great to be with you. Many blessings on your day. Take care.
Relevant in Rome is your weekly connection to the Vatican. Listen to live reports from Rome with Ashley Narona every Wednesday morning at 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central on Morning Air. And listen right here next week to Relevant in Rome for the latest on Pope Francis and news from the Vatican.